Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
My name's Sonny Zayv of Moshoni Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon.
My name is Sonny Zayv of Day Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary. And now I'd like to introduce you, son of Yisrael Abel, Yahav Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You can all be seated. The title of my speech is Ask Ed Abel. Yahweh says this is exactly how to get our prayers and questions answered. He tells us to ask Ed Abel, and asking Ed Abel means priest, teacher, and counselor. Please turn to Deuteronomy 12:5, found on page 157. And it says, "But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose, and of all your tribes to establish his name, and there you must go." And then Deuteronomy 12:9 tells us who were in office at that time and asked for their decisions. Remember, there were two trees in the garden, and it was the tree of life, Yahweh's house. The tree of life, Yahweh's house. Remember, there was a priest who established this house. This tree is different from the other tree because this tree teaches the 600 laws, 13, and the 600 laws that flow from this house. In the sixth book of Israel, chapter 31, verses 28, and he blessed them. He blessed them. If you look in 2 verse 9, you'll see how he blessed them with the house of Yahweh. Know that that's what he did. He gave them a house of Yahweh at Abel, in which they asked for thousands of years later. They were still saying, "You want an answer, ask Abel." And we can clearly see that in 2 Samuel 20, verse 18, found on page 286. And it says, Then she spoke, saying, "They used to speak long ago, saying, to receive an answer, ask Abel, and that would settle the matter." Proverbs 11:14 tells us, "Where there is no guidance, but people fall in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." If you go to the place where Yahweh established the place his name, the house of Yahweh at Abel, the city of Israel, we will always get righteous answers, and we will be safe following the priest. Yahweh's house has all the answers because Yisrael Hawkins is the one sent in these estates to be a spokesman. So with that, if you all please stand, I'd like to turn to Sonny Zayv.
If you all stand, I'll turn the services over to Sonny Zayv, Deacon Ishaya.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Pastor has encouraged us to be prepared for this upcoming Passover. Now, just like in Genesis 1:26, unless we are made in Yahweh's likeness and image, we won't be suitable for a position Yahweh has for us. Please turn over to Matithia 26:19, and I'm going to be reading it out of the King James Version, but it's on page 755 in the Book of Yahweh. "And the disciples did as Yeshua had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover." Now, the world has no idea what this means. They think to get ready for the Passover, they think it means Yeshua and his disciples killed a lamb. But in order to understand this scripture, we need to look at the words "made ready" in the Strong's. The words "made ready" in the Strong's are Greek number 2090 from 2092, and Greek number 2090 means prepare, provide, make ready, and Greek 2092 means from an old noun, fitness, ready, prepared, and it says compare 2680, and Greek 2680 is to prepare thoroughly, properly by external equipment, whereas 2090 refers rather to internal fitness. Now let's look at the definition of fitness. This is from dictionary.com, and the first definition, the condition of being physically fit and healthy. This is fit on the outside. Now the second one, the quality of being suitable to fulfill a particular role or task. This has to do with our qualities, our being morally and spiritually prepared, internal fitness. Yahshua and his disciples were not making ready for the Passover by killing a lamb and roasting it, preparing unleavened bread and gathering bitter herbs and all the other preparations necessary for eating the Passover. The disciples knew something that is not widely known or taught by any of the churches today. They knew that you must be physically and spiritually fit for the Passover. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 5:7 on page 890. 1 Corinthians 5:7. And it says, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new batch, since you are unleavened. For truly, Yahshua, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." Let's look at the definition of purge. The definition of purge in the this is in the Strong's. It's Greek 1571, and it means to cleanse thoroughly, purge out. Now, a lot of this information can be found in the booklet Yahweh's Passover and Yahshua's Memorial, or in the House of Yahweh Study Guide. Now, I'm reading from the House of Yahweh Study Guide, page 183. I'm going to read a excerpt from it under the subtitle Internal Fitness. It says, "The apostles themselves knew, and they also taught, that one must purge, cleanse thoroughly oneself of sin, bitterness, and hatred, that one must repent of any and all sins before coming into Yahweh's presence for his Passover." Now, let's compare the definition of purge from dictionary.com. The definition of purge is rid someone of or something of an unwanted quality, condition, or feeling. So, Pastor, let's compare what Pastor said in the book to what the definition is. The unwanted quality, that's the sin, the negative character traits. The condition. A condition can be bitterness. Bitterness that we have towards someone. And the hatred. The feeling can be hatred. The peace solution definition for hatred is an intense emotion that results in extreme dislike and hostility. Hate is derived from fear, anger, or perceived injury. Now, if we go back to the House of Yahweh Study Guide, we see how this matches up perfectly with what Pastor just said. I'm going to read it again. "The apostles themselves knew, and they also taught, that one must purge, cleanse thoroughly oneself of sin, bitterness, and hatred." So, please turn over to Hebrews 9:14. It's on page 948. Hebrews 9:14. And it says, "How much more will the blood of the Messiah, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to Yahweh, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Father?" So how do we show Yahweh our efforts? How do we show Yahweh our efforts in purging out this sin, bitterness, and hatred? Well, some of the ways that we can do this are praying three times or more a day, studying, fasting and cleansing, going to all the classes, and Pastor has even made these classes available to us online so we can go back and watch them. Confessing your sins, attending Sabbath services, and as Pastor said, work on getting rid of this bitterness and hatred or as it says in the book of Jacob, don't grumble against one another. Don't bear a grudge, and treat others the way you want to be treated. Please turn to Matithia 5:21. It's on page 731. It says, "You have heard it was said by the people of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be in danger of the judgment. Again, anyone who says, 'Raka,' insulting your brother, will be in danger of the Sanhedrin. But whoever says, 'Nabal,' desiring them to fall away, will be in danger of the fire of Gehenna." As we were reminded of a few Sabbaths ago, cleansing and eating proper, clean and acceptable food, that is just one part of the internal fitness. The other part is our character and the choices that we make. In closing, I'm going to read an excerpt from the third book of Ezekiel, chapter 10, verses 51 through 54. And pastor here is reading from Proverbs 12:19. He's explaining the scripture. "Lips of truth will be established forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment, only for a short time." That is what it means. Kum can mean to be established in the sense of being ready for a certain thing, by taking on a job, or to be ready for a certain event, like Passover 2020, like the deception that we know is coming. So Joshua told the people to prepare themselves for Passover. I wonder how much effort some people put into that. I see the griping and grumbling taking place, and I wonder, are they really preparing themselves for Passover, or preparing themselves to be on Satan's side instead of Yahweh's side? I want you to remember this because I want you to prepare for this feast. Prepare yourselves for this feast. You must prepare yourselves for this feast, or there will not be another opportunity at Yahweh's kingdom. I promise you that. You really need to get this because we can tell that pastor really wants us to get this. He said it three times, prepare ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves for this feast or we won't have another opportunity. Now, as Passover draws closer, we need to work harder. We need to work harder and harder at getting rid of all the sin and the bitterness and hatred. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, Deacon Samuel Ashens.
Shabbat shalom, brethren. It's great to be back, able to speak about Yahweh's great and awesome plan again. Please be seated. Like to try something a little different today, but don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to repeat after me, but I would like some feedback. There's some young men down here, and we're going to do some easy math problems, so if you know the answer, it's okay to give me a little feedback and just call it out. Does anybody know someone in Yahweh's house that's this many years young right now? Praise Yahweh. So, I've been looking at this number, 85, for a while. Pastor's 85 years young. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to look at each number individually and then compare those to E.W. Bullinger's book titled Number in Scripture. So, it's going to be super simple and easy math steps. What we're going to do is we're going to do a little bit of adding, a little bit of subtracting. So it'll be, we'll start with subtracting, and then we'll add a little bit, And then we'll do a little bit of multiplication. Is that all right? No choice. So, the first thing we want to do is we want to find out what the difference is between those two numbers. And it's right here. If you look closely, men, young men, what is 8 minus 5?
3.
That's right. Thank you. Feedback makes it so much better. Makes the whole thing go much more smoothly. So if you look at 2019 and take away 1934, that's 85 years. And the difference between the 8 and the 5 is a 3. And so let's look at what Mr. Bullinger has to say about the number 3. Now, this is the book, Number in Scripture. And it's a great book. It's really interesting. But it wouldn't be one that you could read just straight through. It's more of a reference book, but the guy did some exhaustive research on the subject of numbers. And so there's a whole chapter on the number 3, and here's what he says. 3 is essential, solid, or real. Essential, solid, or real. It's also entire, substantial, and it's a number of Yahweh, and it means completion and perfection. And when I first read that, you know, it made me think of our foundation, the work of the apostles and the prophets led by Yeshua, which is so essential for Israel to be able to build this house on. Continuing, Mr. Bullinger also says that the priestly blessing is given in 3 lines, and you can check that out in your notes. It's Numbers 6, 24 through 26. And other things that come in groups of 3 would be our total concept of time. That would be past, present, and future. As well as we live in a 3-dimensional world. So our total concept and understanding of matter is in terms of length, width, and height. And there's an example of that right there as a cube. It's got length, width, and height. And the last thing he says is that our total capability of as created beings is embodied in the concept of thought and word and deed. Those are all 3s that we find, and we get that just by taking 8 from 5. So the next thing we can do, I thought that was very interesting. Mr. Bullinger has done a lot of research on that. So the next thing we can do is add 2 numbers together. And when you do this in math, they give it a special name, and it's called the digital root. Now, this is a very simple and useful thing. With a couple of easy steps, you can quickly find the digital root of any number. And we can even do an example real quick to make you understand that this is really easy. So if we wanted to take one of Pastor's plate numbers, say 322, and find the digital root, we would have to take 3 plus 2 plus 2. Does anybody know what 3 plus 2 is? 5. Right. So we've got those down. We got 5, but we still have 2 more. What's 5 plus 2? 7. Right. So the digital root of 322 is 7. All right, let's do the next step. So 7 is the digital root of 322, and this is just an easy way of saying this is the number you get when you add these 3 numbers together. And so mathematicians gave it a name because they probably got tired of saying this is the number you get when you add these 3 numbers together. And they said, well, let's just call it the digital root. And the goal of the digital root is to find out the one single digit that all the other numbers add up to. So it's simple, and it's also very useful. You can actually take a math problem and turn it into an interesting puzzle to see if all the pieces fit together. So back to the number 85 to find the digital root. 8 plus 5. Let's go with 8 plus 5. Does anybody know what the answer is? 13. That's right. Excellent work. So that's the first step, but remember, we're looking for a one-digit number, so we've got to add the 1 and the 3 together. But before we do that, is there any significance to the number 13 that we know of? Right. So Exodus 34 for your notes, that's Yahweh's character attributes. The number 13 is associated with Yahweh's character. That's the first step, and now we add again to get the one-digit root. We add the 3 plus 1. Whoa. We'll erase that later, right? 3 plus 1 equals 4. Got a little ahead of myself. So according to Bullinger, the number 4, that's the digital root of 85, and that is known as Yahweh's creation number. And I'll read you that soon, but just know in processing the digital root of 85, so far we've seen Yahweh's character, and we've also seen the creation number pop up. So here's the graphic for that right there. And we're going to continue on, and we're going to do a little bit of multiplication as well. 8 times 5 is?
40.
It's right on the screen.
40.
40, that's right. And so we got a number 40, and that's something I want to take the digital root of. So if we take 4 and 0 and we add them together, what do we get?
4.
That's right. So the digital root of the product is also a 4. That's the second time we've come up with a 4. There's 2 of them. And what I initially thought of, you know, a lot of things come to mind with the number 40 because there's so many 40s in the book of Yahweh. But what you want to remember is that it's 40 generations from Yeshua back to Abraham. So it took 40 generations from Abraham to Yeshua. And Bullinger has a whole chapter dedicated to this number 40, and that's our second 4. So going forward, let's see what the multiples are of this number 85. So to get the multiples, you try to figure out which numbers multiply to give you 85, and 1 multiplied that by that number, and 1 times 85 will give us 85. The other set of multiples is going to be 5 and 17. So we have 1, 5, 17, and 85. That's 4 numbers that give us our multiples of the number 85. And there's that number 4 again that just popped up. So 2 of those are what we call prime numbers. I love prime numbers. They're very interesting. And what you got to remember is prime numbers are the building blocks of all other numbers. Right? So when you're talking about prime numbers, we're talking about numbers that can't be divided without a fraction. So you can have 5, and if you cut 5 directly in half, you're going to have 2.5. And another 2.5. So 5 is a prime number because you can't divide it in half without having a fraction. It's like if I had 5 pieces of pizza, but we didn't have a knife and we wanted to split them evenly, that would, of course, mean that I get 3 and you get 2. Maybe. So 5 and 17 are the prime numbers that are in that factorization. And those, interestingly enough, are the 3rd and the 7th prime numbers. If you go a list of prime numbers, starts with 2, 3, 5 is the 3rd one, Then you go with 7, 11, 13, and 17. That's the third and the seventh. And those are, interestingly enough, also the days of sprinkling. Thank you. So 3 and 7 together are a digital root of what? Anybody know how to add 3 and 7? 3 and 7 adds up to 10. Exactly. 10. Now, that's a two-digit number, so we're going to take the 1 plus 0. What does that add to?
1.
Very well. Okay. Hear, O Yisrael. Yahweh is our Father. Yahweh is?
One.
Right. So, 3 and 7 together are a digital root of 1. And interestingly enough, you know, if you take the laws of Yahweh, 613 laws, and add the 6 and the 1 and the 3 together, that'll give you a 10, and then further take that down one more step to a digital root of
1.
Thank you. So let's check out what Bullinger says about the number 4, because we found that 3 times. And here's how he gets to the significance of the number 4. So when you look at Scripture, he takes the very first word, and it's a compound word in Hebrew that is in beginning, bereshith. So that's 2 actual words in beginning. The English article the is not used right there. It's not in Hebrew. So Yahweh is the third word, and we've already previously seen how essential that number 3 is. And obviously Yahweh, he's the most essential, without whom we wouldn't even exist. So created is the fourth word. If you look, in beginning, Yahweh created. And that is how Mr. Bullinger starts to derive significance from the number in Scripture. He counts the numbers of words, and then he sees how many times those words appear, how often they're used. And if you look in Strong's as well, you'll see that number 85 is Abraham, father of many. So just exactly what does the number 4 mean according to Bullinger? 4, the number of things that have a beginning, that are made. The number of material things and matter itself. It is the number of material completeness, the world number, and especially the city number. And I want you to think city of Yisrael on that, founded on 613 laws. So, do you think Yahweh was waiting for Pastor to turn 85 before he inspired him to bring this information out? You might give it some thought. And so I was giving it some thought, and I started to think, well, maybe, you know, this is just random occurrences, and I'm kind of putting too much significance on these numbers. But if I had let that thought stick around, I would have been wrong. Here's why. In the process of getting this speech ready, it was pointed out to me that tied to our hands on the corners of our tallits, the tzitzits, which spell out Yahweh's name, have a very special numerical relationship. You might remember that the knots on the blue strand wraps around the white strand to make the 10-5-6-5, which matches to Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh in Hebrew. The Hebrew language is special because it's one of only 2 alphanumeric languages ever in history. Each letter is also a number. The word tzitzit in Hebrew totals to 600 when you add up the letters. And if we could have the graphic of the tzitzit, if we have that available, what you might not realize is that each tzitzit has 8 strands, and there are 5 knots tied in the tzitzit. There's the 8 and the 5 together. Since tzitzit, the word, is 600, and 8 strands and 5 knots make 13, we get a total of 613. This is an enlarged version of the sketch explained in Why the Holy Garments book that Pastor published in 1986. And you can see how Yahweh's name and his laws are bound together with the word tzitzit at 600 and the 8 plus 5 for a total of 13. 8 strands and 5 knots bound with Yahweh's name. Yahweh uses this digital root. And you might ask me, well, where is the 4? Well, it's right there in the 4 consonants of Yahweh's name. The name is referred to as the tetragrammaton. This is a Greek word meaning 4 letters, or some would say the 4 grammar. The Hebrew letters in Yahweh's name total to another number completely. That's 26. But they're written with a knotted tassel named the tzitzit that shows the number of Yahweh's laws. I thought that was very, very interesting. Thank you. So we'll wrap up with a look at Isaiah. There's another 5 through 8 here, and this is Isaiah 45, 5 through 8. It says, I am Yahweh, and there is no other apart from me. There is no God, Elohim. I will strengthen you with this knowledge, though you did not recognize that it was me, so that you will know from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting that there is none besides me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other. Light and darkness were created because of you. Light and darkness were created because you, Yisroel Hawkins, in the house of Yahweh, were created to learn these things. Peace and destruction were created because you, Yisroel Hawkins, in the house of Yahweh, were created to learn these things. Behold, it has come to pass that all these things were done. Drop down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth be released. Let salvation spring up, and let righteousness grow together. I, Yahweh, have created it. And if you look back to verse 4 in that chapter, you'll see that the subject of what we just read is Yisroel and Jacob. Yahweh's name is written on our hands, and it's written with reference to the numbers 8 and 5, which symbolizes Yahweh's character. Everything is symbolic, especially at this time. And if Yahweh's name is written on our hands, pay attention to what you're setting your hands to do. Make sure that it is righteous. And I really appreciate the feedback. I really appreciate everyone paying attention. And Yahweh bless you. I'd like to turn it over after I gather up this great amount of information. I'd like to turn it over to the great Kahan, Belaziel. Hard to name. Thanks for your patience.
Shalom, everyone. You can be seated. Go ahead and get your books of Yahweh out. We're going to be spending quite a bit of time there today. So to get things started with today's lesson, I've entitled this lesson, What Manner of Persons Ought We Be in Holy Conduct and Righteousness? And so to begin this lesson, I want to go to the Moral Excellence in the Workplace Manual from the Peace of Solution Character Education Program to define character. And this book on the cover says, Building Teamwork Through Character Development. It could just as well say, Building Unity, Building Cooperation Through Character Development. On page 9, where you can see the definition of character. And something that I have come to realize, even though we're in the workplace manual, these are universal principles. And since I've started first learning the Peace Solution Character Education Program, I've come to realize that this information applies to far more areas in life than just children or teens or the workplace. It applies in everyone's full experience of life. Here in page 9, what is character? Character is the combination of morals and beliefs that dictate, that is, determine or influence how we treat others, our environment, and, emphasis here, ourselves. So the very definition of character includes not only how we treat others, but how we treat ourselves. And if you think of this for a moment, and how the things that you've encountered in life, the way we are treated by others, and what we're subjected to can strongly influence how we treat ourselves, if we're belittled, put down, and so forth. So kind of relate to that. It's the basis on which our every thought, action, and decision are derived. Character defines a universal code of conduct necessary for all people. And that's why I say it's universal principles, and I've discovered this, you know, for myself. Now, here's the question that I pose to you. Are you going to choose your character? One which will benefit yourself and others? Or will you just copy what comes your way from negative influence or whatever you inherit or from whatever environment you're exposed to? It's important to understand that character is a choice. It is something that you have the power to choose. Let's turn over to 2 Kefa, chapter 3, page 963, 2 Kefa, chapter 3, and starting verse 10. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, that is, unexpectedly, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Since all these things will be then be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in holy conduct and righteousness? Now, we know prophetically this is in the time of the end. But how many fiery trials do you face in your life? How many difficult circumstances do you have yet to face in your life? What character will you choose to face these fiery trials in your life? In 1 Corinthians 2, on page 888, 1 Corinthians 2, and verse 16. For who will come to know the mind of Yahweh? And isn't that why we've come here? Who will be instructed by him? But we who have the mind or spirit of Yahweh. So we can see that the spirit of Yahweh is very important to understanding the mind of Yahweh. So how are we going to obtain this? And so if we go then to Yochanan 6, page 822 in your book of Yahweh, in Yochanan 6, in verse 57, just as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, this is from Yeshua, so he who eats me will live because of me. And for your notes, to better understand what this means to eat Yeshua, it means to take his character into yourself. And you can look to the 13th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 14, starting in verse 61, and also chapter 15, starting in verse 60. This is that bread which came out of Yahweh, that came down. Not like your fathers who ate manna but died, he who eats this bread will live forever. And there in it is explained in the books of Israel that this bread refers to the works, the all the ingredients that make up the work and the plan of Yahweh and the prophecies of Yahweh, the plan for which Yahshua owed his very existence. And because of him, we owe our very existence. There'd be no purpose to our life without him. Then in verse 63, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. That is to bring eternal life. It is useful to serve one another, but it is not as this world teaches, you know, that you can have eternal life without the laws. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The laws that I speak to you, they are spirit. They are life everlasting. And this is what Yahweh possesses. And this is what makes up the mind of Yahweh. So take Yahshua into yourself, his character. Be a part of the plan that brought forth Yahshua. Be a part of the continuation of that plan. Now let's look to Acts chapter 19, page 861. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. And when Saul had elders' hands laid upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, or came on them. So we see here that the Spirit of Yahweh, the Spirit, which is an investment of Yahweh's character, it's a part of a portion of Yahweh's character, comes through the laying on of hands of elders, comes through authority. And you'll notice here, and they spoke in languages and prophesied. What they did with that is they taught. What they had learned, they brought forth to others and taught and encouraged others. So when we receive this Spirit of Yahweh, it's a deposit or a portion of Yahweh's mind that imparts the understanding of the things of Yahweh and allows us to proceed forth in this plan of Yahweh to bring perfection in his creation. Now let's look to Ephesians chapter 1, page 961. Excuse me, page 916. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. In whom we are allotted an inheritance, being preordained as he set forth, as all things work according to the purpose of his plan, in order that we, having first trusted in Messiah, would become a praise of his glory. In whom you also trusted, hearing the word of truth, the law and the prophets, the message of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Spirit Holy, previously promised. So, this is a fulfillment of Yahweh's promise to you, showing that he is faithful, which is the deposit guaranteeing what we will inherit until the redemption of all purchased possessions to the praise of his glory. So here we see that we're sealed and secured with Spirit Holy, which is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance and confirming Yahweh's promise to us. Now in Ephesians 4, in verse 23, we see receive further instruction of how we're going to choose this character within us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is being created according to Yahweh in righteousness and true holiness. No, you're not created perfect. You're not there yet. You are being created. It is a process. But you need to choose to be a part of that process of Yahweh creating righteousness in you. It's by your willing participation. Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And verse 25, therefore putting away lying, each one of you speak the truth with his brother, for we are members one of another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. For this gives place to the devil. Give her no room nor opportunity. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands at something proper, that he can have or will have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt communication, no, not even foul language. Learn how to speak respectfully to one another. Learn how to speak properly and communicate properly and respectfully. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, that which is righteous for the necessary upbuilding of the house of Yahweh, of your brothers and sisters, that it can minister blessings to the hearers. Yes, you know, our speech should be as sprinkled with salt, as the scripture says. It should be to the upbuilding of others and encouraging of others. And we do that by our example. In other words, be the example you want to see in others. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. And that redemption, of course, is that fulfillment of Yahweh's promise. Let all bitterness, wrath, rage, anger, calamity, brawling, and evil speaking, gossip and slander and blasphemy be put away from you, along with all malice, which is the intent to commit an unlawful act without regard or without legal justification or excuse, to desire to cause pain and injury or distress to another. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Yahweh, for the Messiah's sake, has forgiven you. So be renewed and put on the new man, the person of mankind, which includes women, being created in Yahweh's image and likeness. And if you notice here, verses 25 through 31 outlines all of the things that one holds with deep within their unconscious mind, within their past memories, histories. Like Pastor has often said, everything we've ever experienced, the great along with the bad, you know, has been recorded and can come forth, as the Peaceful Solution teaches us, can come forth from unconscious mind and influence our behavior even to this day. And as those things surface, we need to use our conscious mind to work against this and to replace it with what we've been learning, to replace it with the positive, with the beneficial. So be mindful of the things you hold within you, thoughts, feelings, expression, beliefs, opinions, because they'll influence whatever you will express to others. Now let's look to Colossians chapter 3, page 926. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death the evil passions lurking in your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, unholy desires, and greed, and all covetousness, which are idolatry. It is on account of these things that the wrath of Yahweh is coming upon the children of disobedience. And understand, as we taught before, that this is the wrath of Yahweh is not a retaliation, but it is Yahweh allowing their own destruction to come upon them by their own, from their own actions. among which you once also walked. You also walked when you lived in them or among them. But now you must also put away all these from your mouth: anger, rage, malice, blasphemy, and yes, even filthy language. That's not an emphasis of this sermon, but it does come out quite a bit as a crutch or a substitute for communicating and expressing ourselves properly and clearly. You know, what are we really trying to get across to the person? Yes, they know we're upset, we're impatient, whatever, but what is it you're really trying to communicate? And I think sometimes we really care, but we express it impatiently or with frustration, and it's not as effective as we desire it to be. We need to be confident in what Yahweh has provided to us, the instruction of Yahweh. Who will receive those who listen and receive Yahweh's instructions? We need to pay attention to that and be confident in what Yahweh is supplying us through his laws, through practicing these things, through our interactions with others, and with the peaceful solution that is so valuable to our everyday life and our interactions with others. Now let's go to Ephesians, page 918, chapter 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Let's see. I believe, yes, I'm in chapter 4, Ephesians, but I want to be in, I'd like you to be in chapter 17, or verse 17. 17. Therefore, I say this and testify in the name of Yahweh, from now on you are not to walk as Gentiles walk, through the vanity in their minds. They have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of Yahweh through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their minds. And we find the world is full of this today and coming at us in full strength as an influence, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, which is lawlessness. It's like a license to sin, self-justification, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not learned this from Messiah or from the house of Yahweh. So do not alienate yourself from Yahweh. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. If indeed you have really heard him and have been taught by him, for the truth in Yahweh, in Yahshua, is this, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is being created according to Yahweh in righteousness. And remember back in 1 Corinthians 2:16 that we started with, we see this mind of Yahweh in those who receive his instruction and follow them. Now to Colossians chapter 3, page 927. Colossians chapter 3, and verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you are putting off the old man with his practices and are putting on a new man who is being renewed in full knowledge according to the image of him who is creating him. In verse 12, therefore, as the elect of Yahweh, holy and beloved, put on compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, being patient with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, just as Messiah forgave you, you must also forgive. And above all things, put on love. Remember, that is love towards others and love towards yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So you need to take care of yourself, physically and spiritually, to be of benefit to others, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Yahweh rule in your hearts, to which, rule, first place, first priority, to which you also were called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Messiah, his teachings pertaining to the laws and the prophecies, richly dwell in you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonition one another in psalms, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with love in your hearts to Yahweh. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of Yahshua Messiah, giving thanks to Yahweh our Father through him. So we see a mindset, a positive mindset of thanksgiving and appreciation here. Now let's look to verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, or they will become discouraged. And if we look back to Ephesians chapter 6, it says the same thing. I have a note here. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of Yahweh. How do we do that? By teaching and by our example. Like I said, be the example you want to see in others. And this word provoke means to enrage, anger, provoke to wrath, in the sight of or vicinity of. It's those you're interacting with, those that you have influence on. So, mothers, fathers, who are we? Teachers. We're all teachers. Teachers are teachers. Some are mothers. Not all fathers are not all men are fathers, but all men are teachers by our example, right? Learn how to show patience, kindness, not anger, patience, not irritation, and long-suffering, not exasperation, towards your sons, your students. Be self-controlled, or else you'll be teaching, by your example, the next generation to do exactly the same thing you did, exactly the same way you demonstrated. This is how it works. This is how influences work. Now we need to look to Proverbs, page 504, Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 to verse 9. Fools make a mock at atonement for sin. Atonement is so important to us through Yahshua. But among the righteous, it will be honorable. Verse 15. The simple, the ignorant and untutored, uneducated, believes every word he hears. But the prudent, the discerning, and the wise looks carefully where he is going. The wise show reverence to Yahweh and depart from evil, but the fool rages on and is confident. He who is quick-tempered acts foolishly, and the man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly or foolishness, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. As to this attitude of mocking, this mocking attitude, in Strong's Hebrew 3887, it means to scorn, to make mouths at. You know, they twist their mouth and they mock and, oh, he said to do this. Talk arrogantly, to boast, and of course, lacking knowledge or understanding. In Clark's commentary to this verse, he says, "He that makes a sport of sinning will find no sport to suffer." Yes, it can seem fun in the moment, but when you're facing the end result in the judgment or the sentencing for foolishness, it's not going to be fun or, you know, a sport at that time. And of course, the thing to suffer at this point, Malachi 4:1, is the consuming fire in the time of the end. Revelations 3 and verse 11. It's very important we don't fall for these things that are offered from this world and the tricks of Satan. Revelation 3, verse 11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, that no man or no influence take your crown." Back to Colossians, page 926. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. "Let no man deprive you," or "let no influence deprive you," or deception deprive you of your reward. Actually doing it on purpose, but as though in humility of mind. Oh, they're nice people. "Through a religious worship of gods." But they're so nice. "Intruding into things they don't know or understand." They have not been educated. They don't understand the end result. "Being puffed up by their own carnal minds, not holding firmly to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and united as joints and ligaments, grows with the increase from Yahweh." So don't give up your crown or your reward, which is the result of your calling and conversion. Those who pretend to be righteous will not be accepted. You're going to have to be responsible for your own choices. There will be no one else to blame because they won't be there. You're going to stand on your own with your own choices. Do not give in to fools because they won't be of any help to you. This pastor has pleaded with us so many times. Turn to me to Proverbs again. The pastor has pleaded so many times. He says, "I can help you now, but I can't help you then." Sometimes we need to convince ourselves to accept the help that is being offered. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29. "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose to give reverence to Yahweh, since they would have none of my counsel and despised all my rebuke and warnings, they will eat the fruit of their own ways and be completely idled with their own devices." The turning away of the simple, those uneducated. And see, we are without excuse here because we are being educated. "The turning away of the simple will be the death of them, and the complacency of the self-confident fools will be the destruction of them. But whoever listens to me," wisdom, and Yahweh is full of wisdom, "will live in safety and will be secure without fear of destruction." And this is our confidence in the last days in the house of Yahweh. And then in chapter 5 of Proverbs, verse 7, listen to me now, O children, my children, and do not turn aside from what I say. Verse 9, or you will give your honor to others and your years to those without mercy. No, the world is not merciful in their reveling and their partying and their carrying on in ignorance. And you will, verse 11, mourn in the end times as your flesh and body waste away. And you will say, "How I hated instruction. My mind resented rebuke and warning. I would not obey my teachers nor listen to those who instructed me. Now I am on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the congregation in the assembly. Your character is your choice. And I hope these words from the scriptures have inspired you with an understanding that you have a responsibility here with developing positive character within yourself. And that character is what you're going to express to others. This moral excellence in the workplace, in the Peace Solution Character Education Program, building teamwork or unity through character development, has become like a manual, a life manual, or a textbook to me. And it's so compact, but it is so packed full of valuable information. And I wanted to share a few things from it with you to give you some direction and some hope. Our values are the principles or qualities we consider to be important or worthwhile, and values play a key role in the formation of our character and personality. Moral values clearly separate what is right from wrong, and they are the foundation of character because they govern the way people think and behave. On page 38, use self-control to handle your emotions. And emotions are what have such a great influence on us. What causes us to internalize our feelings until they result in physical ailments, ruin our interactions, or cause us to behave inappropriately? And it lists some of the possibilities, which are insecurity, doubt, certain beliefs that we can hold, distrust, or lacking education, having fear, or simply wanting to conform. The important thing is, page 39, you can take charge of your thoughts and feelings. If you can control your thoughts by choosing a positive instead of a negative thought, you'll be better able to control your emotions and gain valuable insight into your behavior. So, with the education that we receive from the House of Yahweh, with the knowledge that we receive, the things that we practice in our classes, the things that are pointed out to us, and as we go through our daily experiences, and these things will surface that give you problems, difficulty that you face with others, things will rise to the top. And you remember that example from the scripture about the dross, you know, from the refining process of taking the waste products off. You know, as we're purifying and converting to that character of Yahweh, some of this dross or filth will come to the surface. Impatience, you know, resentment, bitterness, all these negative thoughts and feelings. It came to me in a Peace of Solution class because I was having difficulties with how someone was behaving. And it came to me that I need to show him by my own behavior how to deal with whatever I'm perceiving as the wrong. So this is pointed out here. I'm glad you agree. I would that I could grab it here real quick. It is here. Finally, I want to point out to you that your behavior is what you demonstrate. If you want to see self-control in others, then demonstrate self-control to them in yourself. If you feel disrespected by them, then show them by your behavior how to deal with disrespect and model that behavior in yourself that you want to see from them. And I guarantee you, it will change your environment, it will change your life, and it will help yourself and others. And it'll bring us much closer to that goal of perfection Yahweh desires. Yahweh bless your understanding. Please stand, and I'll turn the class over to our next speaker, the great Khan Konath.
Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Please be seated. Yeah, that was a great ending there by the great Khan Betzalel, because what we're going to cover is unity. I've entitled this Coming to Complete Unity as the Body of Believers by Passover. And like what he was just saying there, you know, I mean, if we display the things that we want others to display to us, whether it be respect or behavior, you know, anything like that, you know, and we do it in a righteous way, you know, we are going to come into unity. That is all about coming into unity. Coming into unity is about servitude and so many different things. We're going to start at Exodus 20:20 on page 61. Exodus 20:20. Because like Pastor has taught us, you know, Yahweh is called us to train us, you know, in being able to become in unity with one another. And it's so many facets of unity itself. You know, I remember when I first came to the house of Yahweh at a feast, you know, Pastor had made an example that the feast is like the army goes through like a boot camp, you know, and you know, it's going to be a situation that, you know, one way or another, you might feel like you're going to get your feelings hurt but the thing is that we have to come to a righteous final result with each other, you know, when we deal with each other. Okay, so Exodus 20:20, Moshe said to the people, "Do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you." And, you know, what I've done in the book of Yahweh here is put in parentheses, to train you, because that's what Pastor has taught us. Yahweh's not giving up on us. We give up on ourselves is what ends up taking place when somebody comes offended to the point that they actually leave the house of Yahweh. Okay, so Yahweh has come to test and prove you or train you so that the reverence for Yahweh, you know, and of course the reverence of Yahweh is keeping his laws, believing in the prophecies, all that is taught by the house of Yahweh, okay, will be with you so that you do not sin. And that's the thing. You know, we know Pastor has taught us forever and ever that sin is, you know, evil is the God, you know, and that's the point. You know, if we actually face up to those things in our overcoming, you know, if we see the things that we need to overcome, but we just put it to the side, either we fall into that procrastinating thing about, well, I'll deal with that when the time comes. No, we've got to do it now, you know, because like Pastor said, it could be this Passover. Okay, so so how does Yahweh train us? Okay, let's go. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 30 on page 173. Deuteronomy 30, and we're going to see that everything is by choice. You know, this is a very familiar scripture, Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 16. You know, we have to choose Yahweh and his righteousness. You know, if we don't do that, well, we're going to fall in line with the adversary. Okay, so Deuteronomy 30, 15 and 16. See, I've set before you this day life by righteousness and death and destruction. And that takes place from day one in the house of Yahweh. You know, the people that don't see it, that it's a choice to keep the Sabbath. It's a choice to keep Yahweh's laws. It's a choice to do this righteous standard of living rather than the standard of living what we see in the world. Okay. So verse 16, in that I command you this day to love Yahweh your Father by walking in all of his ways, by keeping his laws, his statutes, and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and so Yahweh your Father may bless you in the land which you go in to possess. And this land is the kingdom of Yahweh that we're looking forward to, and it takes us all coming into unity with Yahweh through Yeshua, through Yeshua. All of these things have to take place for us individually to convert to Yahweh's ways. Okay? Now, one of the things I thought about, you know, is how everything takes place in the house of Yahweh, when we come to the house of Yahweh to learn. So this is another familiar scripture. Let's go to page 546 in the book of Isaiah. Page 546, because we hear this a lot and don't really understand it when we first come to the house of Yahweh, but it may be as simple as reading the footnote right at the bottom of the page. Okay? So we're going to read Isaiah 28:10, but I want you to think about what we read in the footnote below. Okay, so 28:10, for precept must be upon precept. And we learn that when we come to the house of Yahweh, that the law is what we are striving to do. Okay, a lot of times, because of our knowledge and our understanding at the time, we may even do things wrong and think that we're doing the right thing. Okay, but, you know, it's over a period of time. And this is the way that Yahweh trains us. And you know, if you think about it, you know, we are all going to come into unity together. You know, we have to. Yahweh has prophesied it, and we're going to come into unity, but we're going to see, as I got an excerpt from Pastor's book, the 18th book of Yishol, you know, that Pastor really, he can say it no better than anybody, you know, about how it's going to take place. Okay, so for precept must be upon precept, law upon law, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Now, if you would, look down at the bottom, because we're not going to read 11, 12, and 13. I mean, you can read it for yourself, but it shows that it's a choice, okay? But look at the footnote at the bottom. The word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets, is written in parables. You know, now when you first read it, that scripture, you know, by Isaiah, you know, you don't really think about it in the way that the footnote describes it. Okay, or here a little and there a little, as Isaiah states, so that the true believer, okay, for the ones that Yahweh has called that are going to do what's required to come into unity, you know, this is the only way that it's what we have to strive for. Okay, so that the true believer who is guided by Yahweh's Holy Spirit, which we know that is the laws and the prophecies, and, of course, only taught by the house of Yahweh, okay, will be able to rightly put together these words of truth and understand them so that they guide him or her to salvation. You know, Yahweh is, you know, he is the floor plan. You know, he's the foundation. He's got it all figured out. We just need to follow and be guided, like Pastor said. The law is a guide to us. Okay, now on the other hand, I think about this for the ones that don't choose to be righteous, but on the other hand, the word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets, is written in parables, or here a little and there a little, as Isaiah states, so that the unbeliever will not be able to rightly put together these words of truth and understand them, so that these words of truth become a snare and a testimony, and of course they call it a trial, you know, against the unbelievers' evil deeds. And the last two words there sum it up, evil deeds. If we practice evil, we're going to be as the gods. But if we practice things here a little, there a little, as the house of Yahweh has taught it and is teaching it today, you know, and conform to it, okay, well, then we are going to be part of this body of believers. Okay? Now, let's look at Let's look at Deuteronomy 6:4 and 152. Okay. 152. Okay, Deuteronomy 6:4. Now we're going to go through some basic scriptures here, but the thing is, this is how we come to unity. Okay? Now the important thing here is the side note. Okay, now this is of course, this is positive law number 2, submit to Yahweh. And we want to keep in mind, you know, that when we submit to Yahweh, it brings us to humility. And that's what Pastor said. We've got to reach that point in order to be in unity with Yahweh. Okay, so verse 4, hear, O Yisrael, Yahweh is our Father, Yahweh is one. Now look at the side note there, Hebrew Akkad. And we know that we are within this great co-op, the last days, to help us to become in unity. Okay? Although this word is often used in the Hebrew language as a numeric number one, and we've seen that earlier by the deacon, you know, showing how important one is in Yahweh's numeric system, it is still, even as the numeral number one, the symbol of unity. You know, it's all about being at one with Yahweh. And we know that the only way we're going to come into unity with Yahweh, we need to first come in unity with the one that he sent to teach us. You know, if we don't believe and we don't follow what the great Kohen Yisrael Abel Hawkins does and says and what we should do and what we can't do, you know, well, we're not going to be there. You know, that's where humility comes in. Humility is at the first step. You know, when we actually get to the point of Yahshua Messiah and Yahweh, we'll be humble. But we got to get through this first step of being taught. It's like a father, mother teaching a child. Let's see here. Let's go. And this is a promise that Yahweh has made. Let's go to Psalm 110, okay, page 480. Because, you know, always remember, as we've been taught in the house of Yahweh, you know, if we give up on our job or we give up on our position, okay, you know, Yahweh is going to have someone else come in there to fill it. It's not going to go unfilled. And, of course, it's like that even when you think about the physical body. You know, and I'm thinking about things like trimming toenails or trimming fingernails. You know, it's going to actually be replaced. You know, Yahweh's not going to leave this work undone. You know, we're going to do what needs to be required to become in the unity with him. Okay, so let's read in 110, Psalm 110, verses 3 and 4. Your people will have proved themselves obedient to the law on the day you go forth in power. So, you know, that right there is self-explanatory. We have got to love Yahweh's laws more than anything in our lives. They got to be the priority in our life. And by being the priority in our life, then we'll become a more serving people one to each other. Therefore, coming into unity with one another. Okay? And now look at the second part of that verse. They, speaking of us, okay, this Psalm 110 is speaking about this last day's work, okay, they will unite with you, arrayed in their holy garments, like the morning dew. They will completely cover the earth, governing with you. And in covering this earth, we're doing it today. You know, no other work is actually covered the earth with Yahweh's righteousness in this last era, the seventh era, the great house of Yahweh. And that's through what Yahweh has provided to us, you know, through the means of technology and the communications of the internet. You know, we are reaching throughout the entire earth. Okay. Let's turn over to 2 Kefa 3, okay, page 963, because I want to kind of build up to where I've got a, like I say, an excerpt out of that 18th book of Yisrael, where Yahweh allowed Pastor to kind of come across with this in a much more easier way to understand. 963. You know, and that's what's so important about these books of Yisro. You know, it's great to study the book of Yahweh, but it's easy to study the book of Yisro because it's given to us and as a parable. It's explained to us, you know, how this applies to that, okay, in our conversion and our growing. Okay, so Yahweh is training us for the day of Yahweh to be at unity with Him. Let's read in Kefa 3, 2 Kefa 3, verses 10 through 16. Okay, and now this right here, again, it's given for us. This was not, actually, this was the writing here was to let those know at the time that this prophesied work would be the work. You know, we're going to, first will be last and the last will be first. So Kefa says here in verse 10, but the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise. And, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind there is what Pastor has taught us here recently about them putting these war satellites and things out in outer space. You know, I mean, you know, would sometimes it's so unbelievable to think the mentality that mankind has, where it's like everything that they can do to try to bring about sudden destruction, you know, and it's sad. It really is. And, of course, we're going to have this as a testimony to teach even other parts of Yahweh's creation, you know, as why this took place. And, of course, it took place because of sin. Okay, but which the heavens will pass away with great noise. And, of course, you can read about this in Revelation 18. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. This is prophesied, and it will take place. Okay, since all of these things will then be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and righteousness? And the first thing that comes to my mind now is we need to look at this world as something temporary. It's going to go away. You know, if we actually lust after the righteous things of Yahweh's house and Yahweh's laws and the prophecies, you know, if we do this in a lawful way, you know, we're going to be rewarded. But everything else is going to go away. Everything is going to be dissolved. All God worship is going to go away. Okay? The apostle says, you must look for and earnestly long for the day of Yahweh, because of which the heavens will be dissolved in fire and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And that's why I was mentioning earlier, look at all, everything that's here in the world today. It's temporary. It's going to go away. It's going to be refurbished, and we're going to be part of that. Therefore, beloved, since you are looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Okay? Be at peace with Yahweh. Be at peace with Yahshua. And therefore, be at peace with Pastor. Okay, now look at the side note there that Pastor has put, side note D. What does peace mean? It means unity. You know, we have to be in unity with Yahweh in order to have peace in our lives. Okay, let's see here. Let's go to an example by Yahshua. Okay, let's go to Yochanan, page 831. Flip back a couple of pages. 831 in Yochanan. 831. Let's see. Page 831. In Yochanan 13, we're going to read verses 31 through 35. Now, one of the things that when I was writing or studying for this sermon, you know, one of the things I thought about it, I never really noticed before, you know, and we'll read it here. in 31 through 35. Okay, look at what takes place in the beginning. Of course, this is the situation where Yahshua commanded the disciples to love one another. And knowing to love one another is to be able to serve one another. Now, let's actually back up a little bit. Okay, let's go to verse 29. Okay, for some thought, since Yada had the money bag, that Yahshua had said to him, buy these things that we have need of for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Then he, speaking of Yada Iscariot, having accepted the piece of bread, immediately went out, and it was night. So think about unity. Okay, Yahshua knew that Yada had to go out and do what he was prophesied to do, so that what? The rest of the apostles could be there with him, all in unity and righteousness. Okay? Now when he had gone out, Yahshua said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and Yahweh is glorified in him. If Yahweh is glorified in him, Yahweh will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him immediately. You know, Yahshua was trying to get them to sense the time frame, and that's what we're trying to do. That's what Pastor and all of the priests and all of the teachers are trying to get everybody to take this seriously, you know, about Passover, you know. And we got to train. It may, like Pastor said, it may not be this Passover, but think about it, it may be this Passover. Okay? Little children, only a little while am I with you. You will seek me, but as I said to the Yadaim, so I say to you, where I go, you cannot come. I give a new commandment to you, and this is all in becoming perfect, okay? That you love one another just as I have loved you, so you also love one another. And like I say, I look at it, you know, strictly in this love, it's a love to become a servant to one another. And also in verse 35, by this will all know that you are my disciples, by the love you have for one another. And that is the complete unity. Okay? So let's go in the book of Yisrael here. I'm using the book of Yisrael, the 18th book of Yisrael, and we're gonna start on page 116. Okay, now this was let's see, let me get the chapter and everything for you. I didn't write it down. Okay, it's chapter 11. Yes, this is chapter 11, because this is the actual end of the sermon here is what we're going to cover. Okay, so this is chapter 11. Okay, it's entitled Life Cut Off, Genesis 3, Life Given Again Under Yahshua, the High Priest, over the house of Yahweh. And, of course, this was at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Yahweh 15, and on a worldly date, 4-2-18. Now, Pastor is, let's see here. He is in Zechariah, okay, in Zechariah 3:8. We're going to, I'm going to be reading from verse 86 in on that page 116. Pastor says, my time is up, but look at one more scripture. Now, how many times have y'all heard Pastor say that? You know, he's trying to make a point right here at the end of the sermon. I mean, we're on the last page of it. David got this one for me, too, this morning, speaking of Kahan Yehuda, or made me a copy. We've had it for quite some time. Now, look at Zechariah 3:8, and Pastor, so it's reading the scripture now. He says, hear now, O Yahshua, the high priest. This is speaking of the future, okay? This is speaking of a future time, this time right here, after he became high priest. Hear now, O Yahshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch, speaking of our great pastor and overseer, the great Kohen Yisrael Abel Hawkins, and in verse 9, for behold the stone. Now think about it, and we didn't cover that scripture in Yochanan, I think it was, about the stone. Okay, verse 9, for behold the stone that I have laid before Yeshua, and pastor says, upon this stone, now he's in that verse, he says, now remember, complete unity. Remember, he told Kepha it meant complete unity, speaking about this stone, okay? Upon this stone, complete knowledge and an understanding is established. Established where? We're sitting in it right now. Okay, the house of Yahweh. He shows it in Zechariah 6. It's established. Complete knowledge and understanding is established. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says Father Yahweh, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Okay, or in Revelation 20, pastor says, 1 hour. Okay, now, for the sake of time, we're going to drop down to verse 90. Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and finish up right here. In verse 90 on that page, 116 in the 18th book of Yisrael, pastor says, in that day, says Father Yahweh, every man will be called out to unite under the vine. Well, you know what? I need to go up. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to read because pastor says it was corrected. Okay, so in verse 88, verse 10, in that day, says Father Yahweh, every man will invite his brother under his own vine. Okay, now pastor says that's not what it says. That's some more editing of the Sistine Popes. Okay, and then pastor goes on to explain it. In verse 89, he says, here's the corrected way, the only way you can translate it. You can't even translate it the other way the worldly experts say. In that, now this is the verse here, correctly translated. In that day, says Father Yahweh, every man will be called out to unite under the vine and to unite at the house of Yahweh at Abel, where there is healing. And pastor says, beautiful, huh? I tell you, it's beautiful when it's right, you know? So this healing is going to be a part of the uniting that we have, you know, and think about it, because we have a lot of brethren, you know, that are suffering a lot of afflictions right now, you know, and it's because of sin that has taken place in their past lives, you know, just like all of us, the aches and pains that we go through every day, you know, but pray for one another. This is part of the loving one another in servitude. Okay, but pastor says, a clue to all you churches out who know the house of Yahweh is growing like prophecy said it would. If you want your churches to grow, try this. And pastor says it's truth. T-R-U-T-H. It brings complete knowledge and complete understanding. You have to come to the house of Yahweh to get it. That's the only place that your mind will be opened. It's a very, very great sermon there that pastor gave. You know, if you have time, it would be great to read the entire sermon. But it's like I said, that, you know, the only way to reach this unity is we have to believe into the one sent and the teachings of the great house of Yahweh. Now, if everyone would please stand, I have the great honor to do something. It's something that I haven't done in many, many years. Is to introduce our next speaker, the great Kohen Shamiel Richard Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. What a beautiful crowd. Cold, but beautiful crowd. Praise Yahweh. Pray the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of us. And you may be seated. And you please be seated. If you will, let's turn to page 491. I want to go over a little bit of what I brought out earlier. before I get into the, I'll call it the new stuff. The body Yahweh created for us. You know, modern science and all its sophistication has, everything that they have come up with is boiled down into materialism and reductionism. Materialism left out the connection between the mind and the body, because the mind isn't material. Our thoughts cause our bodies to move. You know, like when the alarm goes off in the morning, you got to move, you got to turn it off. Maybe snooze once or twice, or maybe just roll out of bed, get up, and get on about your day. But our minds connected to our bodies in order to direct us as to what to do. Well, that same kind of thing takes place in every cell in our bodies. And cells make up the organs and the tissues. And if you trace it all back, it all functions the same way. Now, in reductionism, it leaves out all the holistic nature of the body. It's all mechanical. Every thought we think, every thought that comes across our minds generates a little tiny electrical storm. You know, there's messages from a quadrillion neural connections in our brain that have to do things to make that thought become something more than a thought. And I know I brought it up. We need to think about, what is a thought? Where does a thought come from? Is it all from the brain? What comes from the heart? You know, there's just so much to the physiology of the human body that we don't think about. And Yahweh willing, that's where I'd like us to go as we go through this. You know, science discovered the DNA and the wonders of genes and what they do to sustain our lives. You know, science has also found out that the human body has an operating system, just like a computer. It has an operating system. And that operating system is the DNA. And it functions exactly like software. Now, somebody coded that DNA just like you would software. And science, in and of itself, can't determine who coded the human DNA. But we know who did. We know who coded our DNA. You know, healing can't take place without genetic activity. And genetic activity can't take place without the instructions from the DNA. But science leaves that part out. Everything I'm going to talk about today, I'm bringing it down as basic as I can so my little brain can comprehend what I'm trying to say. The laws of Yahweh align our DNA back to the original. To the original way that it was designed. Just think about Adam and Eve. Sin took their lives. Sin changed life. It changed from eternal life to a life supplied by blood. These laws, these 613 laws that Yahweh has blessed us with and pastor to teach us, to instruct us, to mold us and guide us and direct us, these laws reverse that process that Adam and Eve began through sin. It's our obedience to these laws that reverses every one of these curses that come from sin. Neuroscience knows that the brain is plastic. It's influenced by our environment, our thoughts, our feelings, our choices, and most important, self-awareness. Medical science knows that there's messenger molecules. Notice what they call them? Messengers. Messenger molecules that carry information from the brain to every cell in the body. Now, science can't figure out why they do that or how they do that. But geneticists have come along and they're beginning to see how the genes are accomplishing that, how they're accomplishing sending out those messengers to do what we need. But we can't forget that our environment, our thoughts, our feelings, our choices, and that self-awareness can change positively or negatively what's being done within our bodies. You know, it's been discovered that our environment and those thoughts and actions and feelings and choices affect and can reverse chronic disorders, aging, fighting inflammation, and cancer. They've proven that. They know that genes aren't fixed and stable. They're not immovable entities. They're fluid and they're dynamic. And their activities can be altered by every experience, environment, thought, and word and action in each one of our own lives. You know, Pastor's been teaching us this long before I ever came to the house of Yahweh. And science is just now beginning to catch up with what Pastor's been teaching us, because he has the book of all knowledge. He has the book of life. You'll get tired of this, but sometimes we're just so busy being busy, we lose track of what we're here to do. How much is depending on us? All creation is depending on those of us that are accepting Yahweh's 613 laws, practicing them to perfection to bring life. Don't let anything stop you from thinking how important your job is. And I don't mean putting stamps on envelopes or sealing envelopes, or I'm talking the life that we have in the house of Yahweh. Don't let anyone take that away. Everything Yahweh has created is excitedly waiting for us. Yahweh made it so that we, this last generation, led by the witness Yisrael, are the ones that are going to change everything back to the way Yahweh created it in the first place. That's awesome. I mean, it's mind-boggling. We need to take the time, and maybe it's because I drive a lot. You know, I have been coming back and forth an awful lot this last year. Body's tired, but mind doesn't stop. It just keeps thinking. And nobody there sitting next to me to correct me when I come up with some pretty dumb things or dumb thoughts. But science even knows that what we choose to do can change everything within us. And remember I mentioned, they call it SDBT, self-directed biological transformation. take the time. Take the time to think just a few seconds before we snap. Because I know when I get tired, I am cranky. I'm like a little baby. I'll scream and yell, and I don't mean it. It just takes place. And praise Yahweh, my family have figured out who I am and what I am, and they encourage me every step of the way. And that includes each one of you. We are a family. We are a body. We are the body. There isn't another. This is it. It's us. Think before we act. How can this not sound stupid? Think before we think? Because we have to guard ourselves from those thoughts that shouldn't be allowed in, because they will affect that set of genes that the DNA helps function in a very specific way. All of this work that we're doing, I remember when we first came to the house of Yahweh, one of the big things that Pastor was teaching was the holy seed. I remember hearing that a lot. Holy seed, holy seed. All of what we're doing now is to be able to bring forth that holy seed so that those that come after us don't have, and I'm going to use this example, the barnacles on the hull of the ship to slow us down. Those genes that we change, that our DNA gets passed on to children from now on, won't have some of those barnacles in their life, on their hull, to hurt them as they grow. As I read some of the scriptures, and I went right through and didn't remind you of Psalm 139, verse 14, "We praise you, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, as we know very well." There was no mistake in making any of us. No mistake. It's all for a purpose and it's all for a reason. As I think about this, as I drive and think, I'm realizing that scientists and doctors, and I mentioned this before, that everyone, you know, they all talk about consciousness, the collective consciousness, you know, all this new agey stuff. And what they don't realize is all they're verbalizing is that they're seeking Yahweh. They're all seeking Yahweh, and in so many different ways, and in looking in so many different places. Oh, it's in drugs. It's in vegetarianism. You know, I mean, there's any number of lifestyles that the world chooses because they're looking for what Yahweh has called us here to receive. This opportunity to be here is so special. I don't even know how to put it in words. Man has spent untold billions of dollars looking for the cures for the diseases that come only from sin. And nobody wants to talk about the law. And just don't do those things that cause these diseases. That's one of the things. That's part of what we're here for. We're proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that these laws will take away disease and sickness. And I know some of you are going to say, well, you know, I know the one sitting should be sitting next to me is at home with flu-like symptoms. Yeah, well, that comes from sin. Even though we're not sinning any longer or practicing sin any longer, how many around us are doing that? It still has an effect on us. Curses affect everyone. So it's proving Yahweh's laws and his prophecies are true. My sin affects every one of you and everyone out there. All of these doctors and scientists, all these smart men and women, they think that their worldly intelligence can solve every problem. And it's being shoved in their faces right now. Just watch the news. It's being shoved in their faces that that's just not true. There's only one place that has the answer. And you're sitting in it. You're listening. You're given the opportunity to be involved in that one place. Studying from the one sent out of the one book that has all life. You want to know the code of the DNA? The original code? It's in here. It's not behind some guy who won the Nobel Peace Prize because he didn't create dynamite and found the DNA. It's here. We live it every moment of every day. Everything we do, we think, and we say is changing the very genetics that the DNA uses. There's been sermons brought that at the end, we will have the same identical DNA as Yahweh, right? Do we think about that? Do we think about the times we stub our toe and yell or fuss or worse to a brother or to a sister? We just stopped that process. We reversed it. We made it a negative thing. We're doing wrong things from time to time. I already told you. I'm my own worst enemy. For a lot of reasons. I'm working on it. But we all practice righteousness. I don't practice being a jerk. Even though I am sometimes, I don't practice that. I can be a bit rough sometimes. Just ask anybody that counsels with me. But it's to stop sin. It's not because I'm mad. It's not because I'm angry. It's not because you did something so horrible, I got to yell at you. That's not it. It's to stop the sin. Stop. We all have to do that. Yahweh is the missing link. Look on page... No, I'm not even going to tell you the page. I wrote the wrong ones. Psalm 49. Look at Psalm 49. I have to get some scripture in here. I'll talk all day. 452. Psalm 41. I mean 49, verse 1. Psalm 49, verse 1. Hear this, all nations. All nations, all peoples, everything. Hear this. Listen attentively, all inhabitants of the universe. The world, right? Of lowly birth or high degree, rich or poor alike. Listen. Our mouths shall speak wisdom, and the meditations of our hearts speak understanding. Incline your ears to a parable. We will open up our dark sayings accompanied with the lyre. Why should we fear the evil days or the iniquity of the slanderers who surround us, who trust in their riches and who boast about the abundance of their wealth? Isn't that all that's on the news? All that's out there in the world chasing the almighty petrodollar or the yuan or whatever you want to call it? A man cannot even redeem his brother How could he give a ransom for himself to Yahweh? For the redemption of their lives, their souls, is costly, and it ceases forever. So he might live forever and not see corruption. He sees that wise men must die. The fool also perishes, and both leave all their substance to others. All their substance to others. Remember, when you die, it's dust to dust. The substance fertilizes the soil that feeds the next generation. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. Their dwelling places from generation to generation. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, despite his honor and wealth, does not endure. He's like the beasts. They perish. This is their course. Such is the end of those who had wealth and who indulged themselves. Those who follow their examples will delight in their mouth, approve of their teachings, and adopt their principles. Like sheep, they are driven to their grave. Death is their shepherd who feed them, and the righteous shall rule over them at the break of day. Their beauty shall be consumed in the grave, far from their dwelling. But Yahweh will redeem us from the power of the grave, for Yahweh will accept us. Do not be afraid when a man grows rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will take nothing with him. His glory will not descend after him. Though while he lives, he blesses himself. And others will also praise you if you do well for yourself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers, and they shall never see light. A man who has riches and honor, yet who has no understanding, is like the beasts. He perishes. We're changing our innermost parts by every thought, by every action, by every deed, by every accomplishment, by every minute of practicing righteousness, by every spoon of butter and honey, by every bite of clean food. We are practicing righteousness. We are coming to perfection. Now I can get it started in my sermon. Listen, medicine can never heal, and it never has, and it never will. Life heals. Think about it. You get a cut on your finger. You know, you're cutting carrots or tomatoes or whatever. You cut your finger. What do you do to heal that? Is it a miracle that that cut was healed? In some respects, it is. But did somebody do some hocus-pocus, diddly-docus thing over it and healed it? Did you have to take a pill? Or get shot up by radiation? No. What about a broken leg, broken arm, a broken bone? Is it a miracle that it healed? Or did you take a pill? No. And it's the pill that healed the bone. No. It's life. Yahweh did it. Yahweh always is the only one who heals and can heal, whether it's for us who practice righteousness or some of those or all of those outside. Remember, it rains on everybody. Sometimes too much and sometimes not enough, but it still rains. And I'm not telling anybody to stop taking your medicine. Don't come here with that stuff. I'm pointing out human physiology as it relates within Yahweh's law, within his plans. Yahweh coded, he designed the DNA. When we see that picture of DNA, you know, the little twisted thing and all the little bumps and the little things connecting it all together, and what a mind, what a heart. I wouldn't know where to start. See, there's something that we don't realize. And I'm going to use morphine as my teaching tool. Did you know that the human body creates morphine? Literally, it creates morphine. The morphine that doctors, scientists have created is exactly identical chemically to the morphine that Yahweh put within the DNA to be created through the genes. It's identical. There's a tremendous difference. The one that science created, I'll give the secret away. It has no life in it. The morphine that the human body generates for whatever purpose is necessary, it knows exactly which receptor to go on. It knows exactly how long to stay there. And along the way, that morphine was a part of a tear, but got a direction, got an instruction along the way that, nope, we need you to still be a tear, but we need you to go to this cell and hook on this receptor and take away this much pain for this long, and then you can go back and become a part of that tear again. And, oh, by the way, the kidney needs a little more oxygen. You need to convert yourself, change into something that can be used to generate oxygen to bring back to the kidneys. Then you can go and finish being part of that tier. Kind of sounds like everybody's job here in the house of Yahweh, doesn't it? It's how the body works. It's how we're supposed to work. When we are given an assignment, and then in 5 minutes later or 5 seconds later, somebody says, oh, but you got to do this first. Oh, that's just how the body works. It's normal. It's natural. It's orthodox. It's from the original. Don't get excited. Don't get upset. It's how it works. Attitude plays such a tremendous part on every aspect of life. We can't lose touch or sight of it. We have to remember why we're here, who we are, what we're a part of, why we're a part of this plan. Remember years ago, Pastor brought a sermon and he was talking about the little microorganisms that live in our eyes. And he said it was, if you could imagine, it's kind of like a beach. And all those little guys are lined up, you know, they got their little air mattresses and floaties and stuff. And every time a little piece of trash is found in the eye, they run out there, you know, they swim out there, they ride on their little raft, and they pick it up and they take it out of your eye. And they love their life. I mean, look, they live on the beach. They love their lives. They've got little ones, they've got big ones, you know, they get married and they have wonderful lives. And all they have to do is take the trash out of our eyes and live on the beach. It's pretty cool. Every aspect of our life is the same way. Every kingdom of microorganisms love their jobs like they lived on the beach. Pastor told us those bugs in the septic system love their job. I'm sure thankful because I don't want it. But it's amazing how Yahweh created everything to work together to make perfection. It's not a miracle that we're here. We were raised, we were bred, to be here in this generation at this time with everybody that's sitting to your left, your right, your front, and your back, and both sides of the wall. We're all here for a purpose. We were all chosen to do this work. And the one sent was chosen to lead, guide, direct, and protect every one of us. We all have the ability to make his job a lot easier than it really is. We really do. And I'm not going to go there. But we do. We have a whole lot of ways to make his job a lot easier so he can spend time studying on the other things he wants to bring to us that we really need. So does your supervisor, whoever that may be. You know, they can get a whole lot more done if we didn't create a whole lot of problems for them. Oh, but God, you just don't know my supervisor. Sure I do. We're all sitting here. Look, scientists know, I'm pretty sure everybody's heard of Albert Einstein. Supposed to be one of the smartest guys around, right? I found an article. It's dated the 6 month, fourth day this year. Now, I'm going to read it the way it's written, but I'm going to change a word later so you'll know why, what it is. The title of this article is Einstein's Quest to Know God's Thoughts. Could take a millennia. But the point is, Einstein's quest to know Yahweh's thoughts. In 1925, Einstein went on a walk with a young student named Esther Solomon. As they wandered, he shared his core guiding intellectual principle. I want to know how Yahweh created this world. I'm not interested in this or that phenomenon, in the spectrum of this or that element. I want to know his thoughts. The rest are just details. The phrase Yahweh's thoughts is a delightful, apt metaphor for the ultimate goal of modern physics, which is to develop a perfect understanding of the laws of nature, what physicists called a theory of everything, TOE. A TOE would answer all questions, leaving nothing unanswered. Why is the sky blue? Covered. Why does gravity exist? Covered. Stated in a more scientific way, a theory of everything would ideally explain all phenomena with a single theory, a single building block, and a single force. In my opinion, finding a TOE, theory of everything, could take hundreds or even thousands of years. Brothers and sisters, you've been given that already. The theory of everything. And look at what led Einstein to do all the work that he did. He wanted to know Yahweh's thoughts. And he searched for those thoughts through mathematics, through physics, not the Holy Scriptures. Not through Scriptures. We have the ability and the opportunity to learn all of this in these last days, listening to the radio and hearing the older sermons or hearing some that just played earlier in the day, the books of Israel, the booklets, the pamphlets, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, reading the walls. It's everywhere. Don't shut it out. accept the opportunity, the advantage we've been given to prove Yahweh right, to prove Him righteous, to prove Him the one lawgiver and the one and only who can give life. Those schools of higher learning, you can have your BSs and PhDs and what doctorates, and you're still an idiot. You really are. You know one little teeny thing about one little teeny part of a subject, and that's all those letters are. It doesn't bring life, it doesn't give life, but it can destroy life. It can take away life. There's nothing in this book that we study. There's nothing in these teachings from the house of Yahweh, from Pastor, that harms anything. If we pay attention to all that we're being taught, we have the ability and the opportunity to live in reality. Everything outside this house isn't real. It just isn't. Oh, they're alive, you know, walking around. They're doing whatever they do. But they don't live in reality. Reality isn't full of everything you see in the news. That's something people make up and convince other people to follow along. And every one of those things brings death, suffering, and misery. Why do you think there's so much bullying outside? It's not because they're joyful. They're hurting. Every one of those really bad things we see out there is those people's cry to Yahweh for us to make it. There's so much riding on us and on Pastor. But we read the back of the book. We make it. We read the back before we read the front. We're going to make it. Be determined. Don't let anything get between you and Yahweh. Take a little bit of time when you can for yourself. You need a little me time. Evaluate. How could I have done this better? How could I have done that better? How come I was a jerk this time and I wasn't last time? Figure yourself out. Work on yourself. That, one of the priests brought up earlier, that will help influence those around us. We have everything we need inside us, in the DNA, in the book. We have everything we need to do this, to accomplish this. We have every tool necessary to fulfill every prophecy that's expected of us in these last days, as individuals and as a body. We don't need anything else except determination, diligence, effort to do it ourselves. That influence will be very beneficial for all of us. And if you'll all please stand. I have a great opportunity to turn the podium over for closing prayer.